Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, and you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
So, we were just talking a moment ago about the WHO, the World Health Organization. I guess looks like they're going to be in even greater control over what various different government agencies around the planet are doing in regards to supposed pandemic response. There's a kind of a treaty that's being worked on, I guess, as we speak. There's some sort of three-day-long gathering with the WHO in order to put this thing in place. They're talking about health surveillance, and it's not really clear exactly what that means. There's a lot of, like, mumbo-jumbo terminology when you try to look into what was called One Health, I think.
Yep.
One Health surveillance when you look into this. I mean, it doesn't sound good, right? Like, it's. I was just looking during the news break and trying to get some idea of what that actually means.
It's really sad how demented these people are, the controllers of the world, that they will take anything and twist it to their own advantage to get more power over other people's lives. Like,
sure.
Basically, what that guy was saying was, the idea was, oh, what affects, you know, I believe this, what affects your environment, what affects the animals around you, what affects anything down to the vibrational ecosystem you live in, affects your health. And they took that to mean, oh, basically anything falls under public health, so we have jurisdiction over all of it, and we can tell you what to do, and absolutely anything can be a public health crisis, so therefore we're going to keep you locked in your house if we think your carbon emissions are too much and you're going to destroy the environment, and that's public health, you know, crisis.
Yeah, that's something that they're definitely talking about. Things seem to be moving in that direction now. And that's, again, another world that I'm not interested in living, where some bureaucrats set arbitrary limits on the things that you might enjoy. I know the last time I went and somebody was looking at airline tickets, and their Google's now got a carbon emission number. Like, normally when you buy airline tickets, it shows you, you know, how long the flight is, right? Or where it's taking off and where it's landing and what dates and how much it costs. There's a new column now for the carbon emissions on the flight booking, just to give people an awareness of what their emissions are, where they're flying from point to, yeah. It's not a mandate yet. It's not something where you're being told you can't buy the ticket. But it seems like they're putting this, you know, the systems into place. They're putting the data there first before any kind of restrictions come into play.
And that's the kind of thing they do. Like, my dad was telling me on the phone the other day, he was a medic in the Army for like 26 years or something. He told me that in August 2018, his little clinic in the middle of nowhere in Dugway Proving Ground, last place he ever worked at before he retired, mm-hmm. was getting told by their higher-ups in Colorado, like, for whatever reason, there was a Colorado military base that was, like, the boss of my dad's military base.
Okay.
And they were getting told by this, their bosses, like, you guys need to start implementing telehealth medicine. Basically, you need to make sure that any appointment you got can be done. You can give them the option to do it over Skype or whatever. And it was really complicated setup for them. It was like, you know, a lot of crap they had to jump through anytime somebody wanted to do a telehealth thing.
Sure.
And most people did not choose to do it anyway. No one was asking for it. That's the main thing my dad was, like, confused about. He's like, absolutely no one is asking for this. Like,
so why is it being mandated?
Why is it being mandated? And
Are you suggesting that this was being done in preparation for COVID, that there was a plot afoot and that they
right.
knew this was coming?
The other thing my dad told me was there were people that their jobs were like, man, I wish I could remember the department's name, but they were like public health officials, right? And my dad said those people were always just like, you know, tertiary people. They were never in charge of anything. He said to the fact that there was even like a connotation, like, I don't know the ins and outs of the people he'd, you know, have conversations with, but during some kind of a mission, these people would be the ones that would be like, okay, so you need to make sure that blah, blah, blah happens so that way we, you know, are not exposing people to this chemical, something like that. But they would never be, like, in charge of anything. But for whatever reason, like, less than a year before COVID broke out, those people were getting these positions, you know, new positions created for them, where they were like in, they were leaders instead of just being science nerds that, you know, were there to help you check off a checklist. And everybody thought it was weird. Like, why is this happening? So it's like they're obviously preparing.
Well, and now you've got the news coming from the Wall Street Journal, I guess yesterday, where they say the Department of Energy has now concluded with low confidence that the coronavirus most likely came from an accidental lab leak in China. The agency previously said it was unsure of how the virus originated, but now you've got the other government agencies in the form of the White House coming out and downplaying what the Department of Energy is saying. Now, National Security Council spokesbureaucrat John Kirby said that the U.S. government and intelligence committee have not reached a definitive conclusion. Quote, there's not a consensus right now in the U.S. government about exactly how COVID started, he said during a White House press briefing. There is just not an intelligence community consensus. So what you have happening here is there was big news, and you've seen it being passed around, I'm sure, on social media, this headline about, you know, U.S. Department of Energy saying that coronavirus came from a lab.
Well, I didn't even see a headline. I just saw people talking about it. So
yeah, well, there's headlines.
That's all I know about it.
It was the Wall Street Journal that was reporting this. And so that's been getting passed around. And so, of course, the White House has to go out and fact check their own government agency and say, whoa, well, we don't know where this came from. We don't know where the Department of Energy is coming from when they're saying this. And we think that you should take that with a grain of salt because our National Security Council doesn't really know. There's no definitive conclusion. So the cover up is already underway for this. According to the report from the Wall Street.
Did they check factcheck.com?
Well, I don't know if it was on. It's probably on factcheck.com.
Well, if the White House just checked factcheck.com, then they would get their answer.
I suspect the White House is running factcheck.com
yeah.
or has somebody inside their staff. But according to the report from the Wall Street Journal, the Energy Department has joined the FBI in pinning the origin on the lab leak theory. For other intelligence agencies and the National Intelligence Council believe the route was natural transmission from animal to human. The Energy Department reportedly changed its evaluation based on...
Why doesn't it pass from animal to human anymore? I mean, like, I've never heard of an animal dying of COVID. Like, I remember at the beginning...
Yeah, there was some fear-mongering in the beginning. Oh, God, your dogs and your cats.
I used to always take Coconut with me to, like, my dog, to, like, Walmart and stuff. And during COVID, I was not taking him anywhere because I was afraid he was going to get COVID and die. And that doesn't happen, apparently.
Yeah, you never heard anything about that. I mean,
I never heard any of them die.
Yeah, if there was any kind of death to animals, that would be on the front pages. I mean, people care more.
Never is sick. He's never been sick.
Yeah, people care more about animals in a lot of cases than they do other human beings. So if dogs were dying from this, we would have heard about it. The Energy Department changed their evaluation based on new intelligence that was shared with other agencies, which didn't alter their stances. When asked if the new intelligence will be shared with the public, the spokesbureaucrat said that, quote, if we have something that we believe can be reported to Congress and to the American people that we're confident in, we'll absolutely do that, he said. The State Department weighed in Monday saying that China has been blocking investigations into the origin of COVID-19 for years. Asked whether there are any plans to go beyond asking for their compliance, their bureaucrats said that regardless of what the issue is, we don't typically get ahead of policy responses before they're announced publicly. So, yeah, you can trust the federal government. They'll tell you the truth about this eventually. So, it's kind of an interesting situation here where the energy department at the federal government has a completely opposite view of the government's head agencies at
the White House. Talked to yet about what the official line's going to have to be, and then they're going to change the story.
Yeah, how did they not get, all on the same page? That's really unusual to have, different government agencies, the federal government,
in that case,
differing opinions.
Maybe it's just that they want to somehow, if they're going to come out and eventually say, yep, it was a lab leak and it was a Chinese person's fault or a Chinese lab's fault, then I feel like it's just warmongering against China.
That's a good point. Let's talk to Major Payne in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, this came from the Department of Energy.
That's what they're saying.
Right. Well, aren't these the same people that told us we can't have gas stoves?
Maybe so.
They caused all this death through this virus.
Was that the Department of Energy or the Consumer Product Safety Commission?
Well, I don't know, but they burn dead bodies with natural gas. I do know that.
Okay.
And
what does that mean?
They're killing people and telling us we can't cook our own dead meat. Now, I don't know if I can make sense of any of this.
What do you mean that they burn people's bodies with natural gas?
Well, how do you think you incinerate people and cremate them?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Big oven. But we can't have our little ovens. They can kill all of us they want to, but we can't cook our damn turkey. Or
be able to buy
seeds in the spring. Or be able to go on a damn boat ride because of some fictitious frickin' disease.
I haven't heard any updates on the gas stove situation. Have you heard anything new on that?
Well, no, I'm just thinking about the Department of Energy and who the hell else would have banned them.
It is the Consumer Product Safety Commission here. Just pulled up a story from K10.com. It was an appointee on the CPSC, Richard Trumka, told Bloomberg that the gas stoves pose a hidden hazard and they emit air pollutants. Quote unquote, any option is on the table. Products that can't be made safe can be banned. So it was the CPSC that's doing this. And
regulations bureaucrats.
That's what they do. They're the bureaucrats who ban things like the magnetic balls. Remember those little, we've got them here in the studio. You kind of play with them when you're bored in your office or whatever. Those little teeny little sculptable magnetic balls. Those have been prohibited by the bureaucrats at the CPSC. So that's what they do. If something's not safe enough, according to them, then it can't even be allowed for sale in any way, shape, or form.
Well, they probably have benefit because I know those magnetic bracelets years ago were quite popular. You know what I mean?
As far as the bracelets. Yeah, no, these are different. These are like these little office toys, basically.
Yeah, but if you're playing with these little yik-yak things, rolling them around in your hand, you would probably get the same benefit as the bracelets. You're transferring energy.
Hmm.
Could be. Major, anything else you want to share tonight?
No, I'm just speculating on all kinds of things, bud.
All right, man. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. According to CPS Chairman Alexander Hollensarek, quote, I'm not looking to ban gas stoves, and the CPSC has no proceeding to do so, he claimed. Rather, he said the commission is researching gas emissions in stoves, exploring new ways to address health risks, and strengthening voluntary safety standards. And will this spring ask the public to, quote, provide us with information about gas stove emissions and potential solutions for reducing any associated risks. And if it is indeed voluntary, then that's fine. You guys can make your recommendations if you want to. And if companies want to follow those recommendations and offer a certain type of stove that probably costs more, but is allegedly safer, then that's okay with me, as long as it's voluntary.
It's not really okay with me because these people's jobs get paid for to make these regulations by stolen money.
Well, that is true. Certainly they shouldn't exist at all, and companies will not want to poison their own customers. So, like, the idea that gas stove companies are somehow doing something wrong or bad to their customers here is pretty absurd. But let's continue here. Let's talk to Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yes, I just want to say that they wanted to have the artificial intelligence start monitoring the jailhouse calls now, because there's a man, there was a boyfriend threatening to come out and kill the girlfriend, Monique Gonzalez, when he came out. It was all recorded, but nobody was monitoring the call. And when he got released, he came out and kicked the door in and knocked on the door and shot her in the face.
Wow.
You know? So there's a Monique Bill. So that's the part.
Wait, hold on. There's a Monique Bill? Are you talking about there's a bill in...
Named after her?
Yeah, right. It's called a Monique Bill.
Is this just New Mexico or national?
So right now, it's New Mexico. Mm-hmm. We're trying to do that for our state. So that, because the calls were not screened. Because if that was the case, he was not. It's threatening to some. When I come out, I'll kill you.
Mm. Did she report it to anyone? Did she report it to anyone?
I do not know about it.
It doesn't sound like it.
But yeah, I don't know what happened. And then he got released, and he went and killed her. But
damn.
It was they want the computer to do the screening. Mm. So can it sense the trigger words? I'll kill you, or I'm gonna come and hurt you, or something. You're with the AI, right?
Yeah, they could do that. So, the AI could certainly do that. It could easily be done.
It just sounds like a horrible idea. Now everyone's gonna be talking to their prisoner family and friends on the phone. It's gonna hang up on them every 5 seconds because they said something that rhymes with kill.
There's
definitely going to be false positives that will occur with this situation where somebody will, you know, use the term bomb or whatever and not in a negative fashion.
Oh, man, something happened today that was the bomb.
Right, and then click, and now you're banned, and now you got to call the warden and, you know, appeal the decision. But, you know, that's not a surprise to hear about, Sarah. Certainly, you're going to see more automation of things like this as jail staffs don't have enough people probably to review all calls live. So that's probably what was going on there.
Yeah, but I'm just kind of wondering why, how come. But I think it's a helpful bill. They need to do something like that, you know. But I know that when you have a domestic violence, that when they're going to be released, they do notify the person.
Mm-hmm.
So-and-so is going to be released after 1 week, hide out before they come and see you or make sure you were in a safe place.
I mean, this lady was calling him. She probably
couldn't have been helped.
You can't
call into jail, so he was calling her.
Oh.
Right. He was calling her.
So
which means she was talking to him.
Yeah, she was talking to him. I don't know. I just think this probably wouldn't have been helped if, somebody listened to the call. I mean, like I was saying earlier, there's plenty of times when the police know there are credible threats and they ignore it.
That's a good point. I mean, the odds that the police would have been able to do anything for this lady are near to zero, right? They're not going to refuse to let him out, I presume, just because he said something on the phone. Although, maybe there is a crime there. I don't know. Is it criminal threatening or something like that? I'm not sure.
Right, and then the problem is that when they threaten people, I'll kill you. When I come out, I'm going to kill you. They do it. That's the problem. Like in this case, he did really get killed.
Yeah. No. I don't know. Maybe that is a crime to threaten somebody like that. So in theory, that could have kept him in. Like if they'd heard that call prior to him being released.
But most people aren't that stupid. I mean, how many people is this going to catch saying, I will kill you on a jail phone? I mean, he must have already been really stupid. And she was obviously not that smart either. I mean, I know that this guy said he's going to kill me, and I'm just going to stay in the place that he knows where I live.
Mm, and not have a gun or something like that. I don't know. We don't know all the details in the case here, Sarah, and it doesn't sound like you do either. Thank you for the call tonight. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And I don't think you need a bill for this anyway. Like, you don't need a government action to do this. You could just simply, you know, if the jail wants to implement more restrictive phone policy or Securus or whichever the company, you know, there's only like two companies that serve most of the jails in the United States with phone services. If the jails want this service, they could just simply say, hey, we want some sort of AI monitoring, and Securus makes tons of money on these calls. So it's not like they couldn't afford to implement something like this. It doesn't need to be mandated, I guess. So let's talk about something a little more positive here tonight. We've certainly covered the COVID nonsense, the WHO going to be shoving more health regulations down countries' throats the way it's looking. But something a little bit more positive. I've been holding on to this one, Bonnie. I think that you will appreciate it. From studyfinds.org, which usually has interesting studies that have been released. From Ireland, people often say we can't control everything that happens in life, but we can control how we react to it. It may sound like a cliche, but new findings out of Ireland show that perspective matters when life throws us unexpected and stressful curveballs. Researchers say gratitude offers a unique stress-buffering effect when it comes to both reacting to and recovering from acute psychological stress. Study authors add that adopting a more thankful worldview can even promote better cardiovascular health. So, here's the shocker. It's gratitude actually helps your health. Actually feeling grateful for things in your life, even when things are going wrong, finding something to be grateful for can shift your perspective into being more positive, and that ultimately will result in better physical health for your body.
Yeah, I mean, we know that stress is just proven to cause physical illness and even death. I mean, people get stressed out enough to die, you know, heart attacks and stuff.
Stress is mentioned in the next sentence, actually,
so,
here.
You know, like, if you're in a stressful situation and you choose not to sit and worry and, you know, ruminate in it, and just be grateful for what you do have or the things are going right. What else can go right?
Oh, yeah, I like that line. That's something the captain is, I think he, I don't know if he coined it, but he certainly
said
uses it.
He heard it from a manager, and it's really nice.
Yeah, it's a good one. Meaning that when something goes right for you, you can ask what else can go right, and maybe more things will start going right.
What else can go right?
Yeah. So while stress is an unavoidable aspect of life, studies continue to show that too much stress can have a detrimental impact on both health and well-being. More specifically, excess stress can lead to high blood pressure, increasing cardiovascular morbidity, and coronary heart disease risk. We all know that stress is a killer. With all that in mind, study authors from the universities of Maynooth and Limerick, again, this is Ireland, set out to better understand how reactions to stressful events impact our future health, as well as if there are any factors that can play key stress-buffering roles. The research team suggests that while prior research has shown that gratitude and affect balance, which is a balance of positive to negative emotions, play key stress-buffering roles, up till now there's been woefully few studies examining the impact of these variables on health, like your cardiovascular recovery from psychological stress. We'll talk more about it coming up here and how you can find things to be grateful for even when you're under stress.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. China says it may start helping the Russians with weapons for their war in Ukraine. Now, the Saudis are publicly confirming they will provide critical aid and hundreds of millions of dollars in to help with critical infrastructure fixes in Ukraine. John Kirby with the White House National Security Council says it's an important step.
We are, and we have been for the last year, asking all partners to do what they can to support Ukraine.
Back in the States, Don't count Jimmy Carter out yet.
Former President Jimmy Carter's niece says,
he's still got some time in him. I just feel like.
Leanne Smith telling Fox News that Carter is,
he's eating and talking and,
and he's even making dinner requests.
They knew I made some soup today, some broccoli and cheese soup, and they texted and said they want some soup.
Earlier this month, the 98-year-old former president decided to spend his remaining time at his home with his family.
Correspondent John Schaefer. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. We got time for you if you want to join us here. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about the power of gratitude. There's a study, according to studyfinds.org, that has taken place in, I think it was Ireland.
Yep. Yeah.
Maynooth, Ireland. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. But they're looking at people and how they respond under stress and how gratitude can help reduce the negative effects of that stress. If you want to comment, you're welcome to join us here, 603-283-6160. But before we go on, I do want to say thank you to Free Talk Live listeners who have become supporters of our AMPS program. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And you can become a supporter of our show. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. People like Anthony Mitchellbrink, who is a Free Talk Live Platinum level supporter of the AMPS program. Platinum means he's doing at least $25 a month. So thank you, Anthony, for that. Definitely appreciate it. And we only ask for five, so he's doing at least five times what we're asking. So thank you for that level of support, but we only ask for $5, and if you can help us with that, if you appreciate the message of peace and liberty and freedom and crypto and the stuff that we talk about regularly here on Free Talk Live, the open phones aspect of the show that we're on 7 nights a week, please, you can support our mission directly over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. You get some perks, get some benefits, like access to the AMP-only podcast and more. Just learn about it and get signed up at amps.freetalklive.com.
So the research, according to studyfinds.org, took place at Maynooth University and encompassed 68 undergrad students, 24 men, 44 women, between the ages of 18 and 57. The experiment featured lab tasks which induced stress among the participants, while researchers measured cardiovascular reactivity and recovery in response to the stress. The ensuing results reveal that a state of gratitude predicts lower systolic blood pressure responses throughout the stress testing period. This means, study authors say, that gratitude promotes a unique stress buffering effect on both reactions to and recovery from acute psychological stress. The team also found that effect balance amplifies the effects of grateful feelings.
And what was effect balance again?
Yeah, they described effect balance as being the balance of positive to negative emotions. So presumably the more positive emotions you feel, the better gratitude works for you. I think that's what they're saying here.
Or at least just having a balance where you're not all in the sky all the time or all, you know, negative and depressed all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to really say. This is just an overview of what this study says. In conclusion, study authors believe these findings hold clinical usefulness. There are numerous low-cost gratitude interventions that can help promote well-being, improve well-being. For instance, one earlier study found cardiac patients who make the use of gratitude journals...
That's what I thought at first. I wasn't sure if they're going to bring that up.
...have better cardiovascular outcomes than those who do not.
That's just so simple and so nice.
What is a gratitude journal?
It's just having a journal. It could be on your phone or anything where every day... You write down, like, three things you were grateful for that day. It shifts your perspective. You have to think back through the day and think about what you were grateful for instead of, you know, most
times... All the crappy things that
happened. Just, oh, this happened today, this happened. Even on a crappy day, you can sit there and write down your three things, and you're going to find three things you were grateful for. Even if some of the things are on your list every single day, it's just good to focus on that. Like, I'm grateful I have my dog Coconut, and you write that every single day because you can't think of three. It's still better to focus on that than focus on all the bad stuff that happened.
Now, this particular study was done on a relatively small sample size. It was only 68 undergraduate students between the ages of 18 and 57, but still, they found what they found. And then they linked to, when they mentioned the low-cost gratitude interventions, they actually linked to a different study, which was a survey of 2,000 Americans examining the potential connection between being thankful and contentment in life, revealed that 65% of respondents who say they're very happy on a daily basis are also more likely to always give thanks. Right? So if you are thankful for the things, which is another way of saying you're expressing gratitude, right? If you're thankful for the good things in your life, then you may be more likely to be a happier person over time. While looking at the correlation between life satisfaction and gratitude, a third of respondents say they regularly make sure to express gratitude in their everyday lives. Of those, 62% note they feel very satisfied with their lives. So there's different ways that you can express gratitude, right? Like you can do what you're talking about with a gratitude journal, where you're focusing kind of within and you're reminiscing about or looking back on your recent past and finding things to be grateful for, focusing on the positive things that have happened in your life. And then there's the sort of outward expression of gratitude, right? Instead of just putting it in a journal, you can tell someone that you're grateful for them or, you know, for what they did for you or for something that happened that involved them or whatever. Just saying that you appreciate that person or their efforts, whether it's at the workplace or whether it's a family member or a next-door neighbor or something like that, just a kind word can really lift somebody out of a slump, right? Like it may seem almost pointless, right? Like, oh, it's just a thank you, but it can mean a lot to somebody, especially if that person's been having a crappy day.
Yeah, that's why anytime I think like a good or like a compliment towards a woman, I try to give it to them because it's like a lot of times you might think, oh, they'll think I'm weird if I say they're pretty. But most of the time they react to it really well.
Yeah, I mean, most people, well, I mean, so I guess some people can't take a compliment very well, but I think you're right. Probably most people appreciate something nice being said.
And even if they feel awkward replying in that moment, I'm sure that they, you know, are happy that someone complimented them.
Conducted by one poll and commissioned by Motivosity, the study also found that on average, respondents believe that they express gratitude to others just 6 times per month. And they say they also receive the same amount of appreciation back. Regionally, residents in the Southwest are more likely to express gratitude than anyone else in the country. 75%, just barely beating respondents in the Northeast at 74% and Midwest, 73%. And so it goes on there. Respondents also agree there are proper ways to respond to being thanked. Smiling, 44%, saying you're welcome, both ranked as the most common nonverbal and verbal responses, although the latter ranks second to my pleasure in terms of politeness. Lower down on the list, only 1 in 4 tend to say it's nothing. In fact, 32% called the phrase rude.
I wouldn't say if somebody was rude if I said thank you and they said it's nothing. I wouldn't think it was rude.
Sadly, 12% say they don't reply with anything at all. Interestingly, only 69% of the overall panel agree it's rude not to thank someone when they do something kind for you in passing. That's just more than the number of people who think it's rude to stay silent when somebody sneezes. Regardless, 42% of
sometimes
all
sometimes I feel that I'm overdoing it at a restaurant where every time the waiter hands me anything, I say thank you, but it's just my natural response. Like, anytime they hand me a water, anytime they give me a straw, I say thank you.
I do, too.
Do you think the same thing? Like, am I overdoing it?
I never think that I'm overdoing it. In fact, I'll even say it when they bring something for someone who's not me. I'll say thank you to the person because
right.
I don't know if the other person's going to do it. Now, maybe I'm cutting their opportunity or whatever to say it, but they could also say thank you, too.
Yeah.
If they wanted.
I really thought about it the other day when we went to Omakase, which is sushi, where the sushi, where the chef in the back chooses the sushi and hands it to you
over
an hour and a half. And tells you what it is. Well, I was wondering if I was annoying him saying thank you every time he handed me a thing. Because they hand you things.
Did you notice I was doing it as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They hand you things so many times during that dinner, more than like a normal dinner.
Yeah, more than average.
So
I guess you're right. It did. I don't know if I thought, well, am I bothering him or whatever? Because I can't see why it would be a bother to someone. I mean, I think most people would rather be thanked than not thanked. So.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't stop saying thank you in that circumstance. And even though you were, it's like it was doubling it up because you were saying thank you, and then I would say thank you because he would give you the piece of sushi, and then right after that he would give me the same thing.
Right.
And I would also say thank you for it. So I think it's like you said, it's just a good habit to get into. Let's see here.
I thank my food for nourishing me.
And that's
like
one of those internal ones, yeah, right? So that's the difference between an external and internal gratitude, right? So internal gratitude is kind of like a prayer. You're thanking whatever it is, the universe or that individual for providing things for you.
It seems more logical to me to talk to the food and say, food, I want you to go in and nourish my body and my cells, and thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, water.
Absolutely. Can't hurt. 42% of respondents believe a spoken thank you goes a long way, since that's the form of gratitude they prefer to receive the most. That's followed by a written thank you note at 21% and physical rewards like gifts at only 17%. There's a dramatic correlation between gratitude and happiness, says the vice president of marketing at Motivosity in a statement. This is the company, I guess, that created this particular survey. When people are proactive about being grateful, it rewires their brain to look for positives instead of the negatives around them. Previous studies and these survey results tell us that if you want to experience an increase in life satisfaction, just express gratitude more often. And this, I think, is where your idea of the gratitude journal can really come in.
Like to rewire your brain?
Well, but to get onto it on a habit, to create a habit out of it. Because it could be easy to think, you know, to hear us having this conversation and say, oh, yeah, I'll be more grateful. And then, like, the next day you have a crappy day or whatever and you just totally forget
about it. Yeah,
right?
I haven't even had a gratitude journal in, like, over a year, but I had one not too long ago. And I don't even remember. I mean, it's not like I made a decision to stop using it. I just forgot.
Did you put it away or something like that? Because you got to have something like that out.
It was in my phone.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure it's still back there.
I figured it was like a paper journal. Like, to me, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind.
Things can be out of sight, out of mind on your phone, too.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's harder to find something on the phone, whereas if you have like a journal next to your bed or something like that, it's much more likely you're going to see it. Or add it to your calendar and just make it part of your daily routine, and that way you're more likely to be reminded that you have a digital version of something like that. But let's go to the phones here. Joe is in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, how you doing, Bonnie Parker? How you doing, Ian?
What's
up, Joe? As always, you're both in my prayers, and like I tell the folks, they ought to be thankful for your show, because you talk about freedoms, and they allow themselves to be led like sheep, shall I? Excuse me, that's something in my throat.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk about the WHO talking about all these things that we should have to do this with the health-wise stuff.
With the what stuff?
The WHO. The World Health Organization.
The WHO.
Okay.
The WHO and the WEF. The World Economic Foundation, all that kind of stuff, where they say, well, you got to do this, you do that, it's for the betterment. If you remember when that coronavirus first came out, they lied to us about everything.
Sure. Now, they're still lying.
Does everybody forget about that?
No, I think more people are coming to understand this.
And all these things. And
well, it can stay on surfaces for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think a lot more people are coming to understand
that. All the natural things you could do to, you know, stop from getting sick, you know, to prevent yourself from getting sick, or if you were sick, the stuff to take that would make you better and stuff like that.
And our neighbor never got the coronavirus, and guess what he does? He eats, like, the cleanest diet I've ever seen a human being eat, and he goes outside every single day and sits in the sun and goes on runs and walks and skateboards. He never got it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Ron Paul recommended, was go out and get some sun when they're trying to tell you to stay inside and weaken your immune system. He said,
I highly doubt that the neighbor I'm talking about wore a mask the whole time.
I sure as hell didn't.
Yeah, the sun, that stimulates, like, hormones, like vitamin D3 hormone, which is used for your immune system and things like that, melatonin. Also, it does kill certain virals and bacterials and things like that. And you don't have to stay out in the sun for 2 hours. Usually the best time to go out in the sun is at 10 a.m., stay out there for 20 minutes and a half hour. But if you live north of Los Angeles, you don't get enough rays of the sun to, you know, really super affect your life. That's why I always took supplements and stuff. Remember, during the height of the coronavirus, I was at a rehab, you know, doing rehab for my back and legs for the accident.
Hmm.
And I didn't take any of their crap they gave me. And I would give them a lecture of why I didn't have to take the vaccination shots and things like that. The medical staff kind of hated me. And when they asked me, well, where'd you get your medical degree from? I said, oh, my God, from Gallifrey. And you should have seen the look in her face.
Got it from what?
Gallifrey.
The
home of Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my mom was telling me the other day about how when her last baby was born, she showed me a picture of him, and it looked like he had the antibiotics in his eyes that they put in newborn babies' eyes when they're born, in case the mom had chlamydia. And it's like,
oh,
you can just tell them not to. I mean, like, it's hard, but if you tell them, like, no, I'm refusing the crap in the baby's eyes, I don't have chlamydia, they'll get mad at you. But anyways, I said, oh, no, why did you let them put that crap in his eyes? And my mom said, that was the only thing they got past me. But I wouldn't let them give him any vaccinations or anything else. And a doctor came into her room that her, my dad, and the baby were in and leaned against the wall and just glared at them for several minutes, and they just ignored him until he walked away. Like, these people are psychopaths. They, you know, I went to a medical school. I know everything there is to know about anything.
Well, the social pressure that people were being subjected to under COVID, it was just, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I can't. We tried to go to the local hospital at one point,
yeah.
Bonnie.
Oh,
there was some issue.
So
that we're having, and they wouldn't let us in if we didn't put masks on. It didn't matter that I told them that we're medically exempt. I've got a note from a doctor. They're like, nope, you can't come in here. You don't get any medical services from us. The walk-in clinic had the same view. We actually called around, ended up fixing itself. The problem did, thankfully, but we called around, and we would have had to have gone to a hospital all the way in Manchester in order to find that one was willing to actually take patients that weren't willing to put masks on. So the pressure was extreme, and that's all going to come back the next time some other thing comes up. Joe, you've mentioned to us before that you are essentially you're in a hospital bed at all times. Is that still the case?
Yeah, but I always do the exercises that I can,
mm-hmm.
and I've been using a tennis machine, and I've gotten a little bit of feeling in my right foot.
I wanted to ask you, as somebody who is in that position in life, are you able to find things that you're grateful for regardless?
Dan, every time I call your show, I say everybody should be grateful for your show because you talk about freedom and not having them be like sheep. You got to have a positive attitude. This is not going to stop me. I pray, and I tell you that all the time. I pray for you guys on the show. I pray for other people. I even pray for Sarah, Mrs. Kravitz.
No, I figured you would have a positive response to that. I just wanted to see what you would say.
You know what? You can't be miserable. Now, if I was a bit worse, I might be miserable, but uh-huh. I am not going to let these doctors tell me, because they told me, look, you can't have your joints replaced because your shoulders and knees are so weak you couldn't do the physical therapy. And so my idea is, researching the proper nutrients to, repair the body and things like that, which I already know about and stuff. And I take them when I can afford them. And I'm just going to show them that, no, I will be walking within the year.
That's a good attitude to have.
It's a great attitude. I mean, if somebody just agrees with their doctor and doesn't put any effort towards it, of course the doctor's going to be proved right.
Yeah, it's really all about what you believe. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate the call here tonight, man. I appreciate you. Let's go on to this caller. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What is your name?
Yes, this is Jim calling from Daytona Beach.
Jim, you're on the air. What's on your mind tonight?
So I want to talk about this Energy Department press announcement that now it is agreed on, the government agrees that the leak from the lab was the source of COVID-19.
Yeah, that's now, what the Energy Department's saying, but the other branches are now trying to run out and say, oh, no, we didn't say that, and we don't agree with them, so they certainly aren't agreeing, per se, but it is interesting.
Right, but here's my question. I ended up losing my YouTube channel after having a YouTube channel for, I believe, 14 years. I had, 8 million views, which is not a lot as much as other people. But it was mostly from strikes, not coming out and saying that it was a leak, but mm-hmm. that questioning, could it have been a leak?
Mm-hmm.
Did
they strike you for medical misinformation?
Right, medical mm-hmm. misinformation. So now, what can be done to go back and for them to have to give us our channels back and maybe even owe us money for basically publicly saying we were doing something wrong or saying something wrong that actually turned out to be right and they were the ones mm-hmm. that were wrong. So, what consequences are there for the censors? And where do we go to get our good name back and our channels turned back on?
That's an excellent question. I mean, YouTube, Google is such a huge corporation. It's not like you can just get a customer service agent on the line
and convince them
that
you were right. They'll probably just say, look, from what we knew at the time, that's what we had. That was our policy, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I think the best strategy is just to use Odyssey instead of YouTube,
mitigate
your losses.
Are you posting somewhere else? Your videos?
Oh yeah. I've been posting a lot to Rumble, but okay. I was just thinking that there's some of these new laws that I don't think most people know that, like in Florida, there's some new laws, and I have to research where you have the right now to actually take them to small claims court and get large amounts of money for you know, these kinds of things. And it almost seems like there needs to be a movement, at least of educating people, like what their rights are. You know, if some smart lawyer did a class action lawsuit for everybody that had strikes that were unjustified and channels that were removed and did sort of a financial, a calculation to see, okay, what are the financial damages to someone who built a channel for 10 years and got it taken away for wrong, you know, for the wrong reasons based on incorrect information, you know, what kind of big, giant class action lawsuit could be put together?
Well, I definitely understand where you're coming from, and I get why it's frustrating to have built a thing and then to have the carpet pulled right out from underneath you, and that, I can see why that would make somebody angry and why that they would want to talk to an attorney and possibly bring a suit. And you are correct that Florida and Texas both have certain laws in place that target social media companies, I think, maybe also YouTube. I'm not, like you said, I'm also not 100% clear on what the specifications of it are, but they do guarantee some level of service to people based on, or not based on, their opinions, like that they have to continue with accounts. So you may be onto something from a legal perspective. Yeah, Texas Nationalist Movement is suing Facebook because Facebook took their account down because Facebook claimed that Texas Nationalist Movement was doing something illegal, was advocating for something illegal, which was secession.
Wow.
And so TNM sued and said, no, this isn't illegal, and, you know, we're going to prove this in court. So it's kind of interesting to see that happen. But at the same time, as at least from my perspective as a libertarian, even though there may be a law that authorizes that, personally, I wouldn't join in with it just because I'm not somebody who believes that I should be able to control somebody else's.
Yeah, I don't want to see, like, Odyssey getting, not that I think Odyssey would take people down for this, but if Odyssey for some reason decided they want to take somebody down for whatever reason, I don't want to see Odyssey getting sued in the future. Just to put it in perspective, like,
yeah, anything that they can use against a company that you don't like can be used against a company that you do like by your political enemies, basically. So I wish we had more time to talk to you about this. Feel free to call in tomorrow, and we can dig into this deeper because it's an important topic, and we're out of time for tonight. If you didn't get on, well, we got time for you. Just call a little earlier in the show. We'll be back tomorrow. You can join us online in the meantime for freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extend.